Beautiful day. Boy, we've had some beautiful weather this week. Nice. Look at Dallas. He's trying to be cool. He's wearing sunglasses in church. Yeah. Light bothers you? Yep, I hear you. Hey, we're all just getting younger. Something's going to happen. Danny, come on and get us started.
I like it. He said we're getting younger. Sounds good to me, don't it, you?
Well, younger's a point of perspective.
Well, I know.
Younger means we're getting closer to heaven.
Amen. That's so true. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you this morning, and we have had a good week, beautiful week, and we thank the Lord for his goodness to us. We can never be thankful enough for what God does for us, and like Brother Cash used to say, He drops down those handfuls of purpose sometimes for us. And, you know, we just thank him for that. And thank him for, I was telling my wife this morning, he's led us around things that we didn't even know about just for our own protection, our own well-being. So we want to praise the Lord this morning and thank him. We're so glad we have an opportunity to be in Sunday school and have a church that we can come to and hear the Word of God. Let's get right into today. We're looking at items in the bulletin. And today is Father's Day. And I know we've got some gentlemen in here, and I know most of them are fathers, and so happy Father's Day. And we're glad you're here. And today there's going to be gifts for the gentlemen that are 18 and above as you leave the service this morning. So that will be nice. And then we're glad to have with us today also, I know he's over in the Dan's class this morning, Philip Ninen, our missionary to the country of India. He's Dr. Cherian's son-in-law. And we're maybe going to get to hear from him tonight. So we're just thankful that he's able to come by. Also on Wednesday, June the 2nd, we're going to have Dwight Talbot from Canada. And he and his family will be here and will give us a report on how things are going in his ministry. Then I said 6:02. I'm sorry, that's 6:21. If I'd put my glasses on, I'd probably be able to read it. And I feel awkward with those glasses either sitting on my nose or I can't see who's in the back. So there's going to be a trip for the Oasis on June the 22nd. They're going over to the Hobnob restaurant for dessert. And if you're part of the Oasis and you like doing that sort of thing, look forward to that. It's coming. They're going to leave the church here about 3:30 and get over there about 4 p.m. So, also on Monday through Thursday, 6:21 through the 29th, the junior day camp is going to be at Harvest Acres. And maybe you have grandkids or children or something that will be a part of that. And so just remember that and keep it in prayer. Okay, for the prayer requests, I talked with Randy Scalf yesterday, and Randy and Pat have had a really hard time over the last few months, a couple, 3 years, and Randy told me yesterday that he's going to have eye surgery on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, 6:20. So pray for him. Also, Brother Bill Magnus, you know Bill and Megan. Bill got to come home from the hospital, but he's still suffering and has things that are yet to be healed and touched, so let's keep him in our prayer. And then maybe you heard, maybe you didn't, Jerry Scalf had to be taken to the hospital this week. He was bleeding internally, so he is doing better. Got the report this morning, so we need to keep him in prayer. Harold Baskett's sister is about the same. I think she's going to see the cancer doctor in a day or two, so let's pray for her as she goes to see the doctor. She's in kidney failure, and so she has a lot of problems we need to pray about. Also, we're still praying for Teresa Payne's situation with her mother. And y'all keep that on your list. And Kim Brummett has got an eye surgery coming up on June 28th. Now, Kim's doing well. She had one surgery, and she's saying that she's seen things that she's not seen for a very long time. So we're thankful for answered prayer there, and we're praying that God will continue to help her during this time that she's going through the surgery, and pray that it all turns out well. We're also praying for her neighbor who is having some serious problems, and I believe her name is Wanda, but I can't remember her last name. We are praying for Wanda Huskins. She and Ron are usually here, but she had that hip replacement, I do believe, and she's in recovery. And then we're still praying for Judy Whitson. We're still praying for Bob Daniels. I did get a report that Bob is doing better. He's taken these pills, and he's getting some strength back, and the doctor is pleased with his progress. So y'all continue to lift him up in prayer, and God, I believe, is answering prayer there, and we just want to give him the glory. And then Miss Lois back here, her sister fell last night, Verda Blevins, and it boogered her up pretty bad, but they let her come back home, so we need to keep her in prayer. And then Shirley and I learned this morning that Carol Hayes, one of our shut-ins, is in the hospital. She's having some heart issues. So that's kind of running over our prayer request. And remember our folks that are having issues. You know, just about all these people that I've read off, they used to be here each week. They were faithful to church, faithful to Sunday school. And then things begins to happen. And sometimes, you know, that's the way it is. I remember one of the first shut-ins that we ever visited. She said, the first thing that happens is you get sick. Then you get shut in. And when you get shut in, then you get depressed. And when you get depressed, then you start to doubt. So there's a progression when we get affliction, when we get sickness and things like that come into our life. And we got to remember that God is still in control. God is working His will. He's working His way. And we may have times like that we go through. But God gives us strength, and He's faithful. And so let's remember these folks that can't be here with us right now for all these things. Do want to pray for Steve today. He's been teaching us about the names of God, and we pray that the Lord will help him today as he continues that. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we do thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for the love that you showed to us at Calvary, Lord. But Lord, it's not stopped at Calvary. You keep showing that love day after day after day, Lord. And every day when we get up, Lord, we thank you for your blessings to us, God. You give us strength, Lord, and in you we move and have our being. God, we just thank you for that. We thank you for loving us and for all the things that you do. And Lord, we do thank you for our church. We thank you for our Sunday school. We thank you for Brother Steve. We thank you, dear God, that you have allowed us to be in a place that we can learn and grow and study and serve. Thank you again for this day, Lord. Bless all of our fathers. And then, Lord, we pray for our pastor as he comes and brings the message a little bit later. Lord, may you help him. And, Lord, may if there's anyone here, God, that don't know you, Lord, we pray that today that the Holy Spirit may speak to them and they would listen and they would turn to you. Thank you again for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here's yours.
Is that mine?
That's yours. Brother, you need to go sit down. You need to go sit down. Or do you need a pair of glasses? Oh, you got a pair.
I refuse to wear them.
You and I may make it. With the Lord's help, we'll make it. Amen. Well, welcome to Sunday School. I got off this week looking at God's name, Jehovah, and I was reading back in the Old Testament some things, and this, if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn there, we're going to go into Exodus chapter 14 and look at a situation where Jehovah, in the Bible, says in capital letters, Lord, which meant Jehovah to the nation of Israel at that time. And they were needing help. They were needing salvation from a situation that they were dealing with. Now, we all know the story here. They've left Egypt, and they're heading to the Promised Land. And we sometimes look at our path in life. Why did we go this way? Or why did we choose that way to go? And I think if we look at Moses' life, the path that he had was nothing that he ever thought when he was a young man would be the way it was. We know how Moses came through Pharaoh's family and then was outcast into the backside of the desert and comes back to save the nation of Israel. Or God used him to save the nation of Israel. Well, we see in this situation here that the whole nation of Israel was following Moses' leading, and God was leading him a particular way. Now, a lot of times we want to choose our own way, and sometimes that path will get us in trouble. And I can't say that God always gets us out of that trouble. Sometimes we got to get through that and come out the other end and thank the Lord for getting us through it, but we had to go through it. Well, here we have the nation of Israel getting ready to learn a valuable lesson, because they were getting ready to go into the Promised Land. Of course, we know the story that most of that nation of Israel died in the desert before they ever got to the Promised Land. They never really learned their lesson. Even this lesson right here, where God saves them from Pharaoh's army, they just They just kept looking to Moses, and I don't think they would look past Moses and look at God. And he kept saying, God said this. Now we can look at chapter 14 in verse 1, and it says, and the Lord, and that word is Jehovah, spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Now, they didn't have the written word at this time. They had Moses. He was God's man at this particular time. Now, we have God's man that stands in this pulpit through the circumstances in the last 5 or 6 years here at Buffalo Ridge Church. We have Pastor Herdman. It's God's chosen man for this day, for this church, for now. And all the praying and all the stuff that went on in the background and the deacons to get the right man in this pulpit was very laborious, very prayerful. It just didn't happen. We have to lean on God when there is troubled waters. If we think we can navigate those things ourselves, we're fooling ourselves. Just as Moses was getting ready to do some things here with the nation of Israel, but the Lord Jehovah spake unto the children of Israel through Moses that they turn and encamp before. Now, I have trouble with these big old words. It's P-I-F, it's Phi, Hathroth, or something like that. It's a name between Magon and the sea. And against, another one of those words, Baal-Zebon, or Phanon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. He was telling the nation of Israel, go up against the sea and encamp there. Did Moses know what God was going to do at that point? I don't think he did, because he tells him later on. But he obeyed Jehovah, God, at that time. Did the people have any idea what was going on? No, all they knew at that point was they was falling, because they knew that Pharaoh may come after them, but he did. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. So Pharaoh had spies watching them, what they were doing. The devil watches every move we make. He wants to entangle us into things of this world. He wants to tangle us up with doctor visits and financial problems. And you can listen to this crazy old news and talk about, they talk about financial stuff that may happen, going to happen. Who knows what's going to happen? God knows. And we can worry about all those things and worry, and it don't help us one bit. And the nation of Israel, and it says Pharaoh's heart was hardened that he shall follow them. He was going to wipe them out. There it says in verse 4. So here we have these children, God's children, are put in a situation, basically in a place of impossibility. There wasn't anything they could do to solve this problem. God, it put them in a place where God had to do a great work to get them out of it. So is God doing a great work in your life right now? or in my life? You know, I've been trying to get a coal mine started for 2 years. Well, more than that now, about 30 months. And because of the government regulations, it's almost impossible. The energy business in this country is a mess because of the political situation. It gets hard. Life gets hard. Sickness, illness, cancer, on and on and on. And we may be fine right now, but what's the next path we're going to step into? What's the next phone call? Is God going to put us into an impossible situation? I mean, where's God going to leave us? The next phone call could change everything. Are you ready for that? Are you close enough to Lord Jehovah, the all-powerful, all-knowing God of the universe that can do anything that He wants to do? Do we trust that? Do we believe that? I mean, we can study His name from till we're just from now on. 200-300 different names in the Bible, things that mean His name. But these folks right here were put in a situation that was beyond. They had an ocean in front of them. Now it wasn't no swamp. It wasn't you can't roll your britches up and wade through. It was water over their heads, deep water. I've seen studies about the sea that they crossed, and based on the best locations of these cities or where these areas were that was mentioned, It's deep. It's 200-300 feet deep. Now there is a ridge they believe that's there. They know that's there now. With sonar and radar and all that stuff, you can see the bottom of the ocean as plain as you can see the land. And there's a hump there, but it's still 150-200 feet deep. And a lot of people believe that, try to put all the reasoning to this, is that is most likely where they went across. Because the Bible says that they went across on dry ground. Well, how did it get dry? If you got water here and water here, it's just reasonable to think that this piece of high ground, the water drained off. Now, God can do anything. He can just say, be dry, and it'll be dry. But we want to put our human reasoning to all that. So there is a place they went across this span of water, and God held the water back. Do we believe that? Well, the Bible says it, so I believe it. And probably everybody in here does. But my engineering mind wants to reason through all that, thinking about, and I scuba dive, and the pressure's at 150 feet, and the weight of water, and only God can do that. So here is the nation of Israel. They have wagons and they have all the stuff that they left Egypt with. Another miracle that God allowed them to load up gold and all the valuables and all the stuff that they needed to set up their nation with. And they had all that with them. On wagons and carts and all these people moving. And it says down in verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were so afraid. I would have been afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. See, a lot of times we wait till the last minute to pray, to cry out to the Lord. We wait till something bad happens. Why do we do that? Why don't we ask God today for strength when something comes? Why don't we praise His name today for who He is and what He is? Instead of waiting till death or something knocks on the door that we have no control over. I mean, that's what's happened here to the nation of Israel. They were learning a valuable lesson. Some of them got it, some of them didn't. They were so afraid, and they cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, has thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Well, they keep saying that. We know as they get into the wilderness, there's no water, and we're out here and we're going to die. There's no food, and we're out here and we're going to die. And God kept fixing it, and God kept fixing it, and God kept fixing it. And they still complained and murmured. Therefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt. Saying, Moses, it's your fault. It's God's fault. It's your fault. Somebody's fault. It ain't our fault. You always want to blame somebody else. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're going to die here in this place, and nobody will even know we were here. And Moses said there in verse 13, we jump right on down there to 13. I don't have time to read all these. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still. Slow down. Watch, He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And a lot of them says, how in the world is that going to happen? I mean, how's God going to do that? I mean, I just don't. That's hard for me to understand. Here they are, the army standing right there. And we're right here against, and what? On and on and on, questioning, trying to reason through and using. I mean, I'm bad about that. I try to reason through things. I try to solve things. Not just the engineering in me. I just solve things. I solve problems and fix them for folks. Well, it gets to the point to where you can't fix things. I can't fix the federal government. It's out of my hands. It's going to be God that fixes it. I mean, everywhere you go, most of the time, people talk about what a mess this is and what a mess that is and who they are and what they said and what are they doing and all this kind of stuff. And you can just talk about all these in these radio shows, and all this is turned into some kind of entertainment and the news and all this and spin that and what if and what if and how are we going to do it. And it's just down to the point for all of us in this world that we live in, that we're going to just have to let God take control and leave it in His hands. See, it's hard for us to do that. It was hard for these Egyptians to do that. I mean, the nation of Israel. They were saying, Moses, you've messed up here. We were trusting you. That's they look to a man, not God. We all know of churches in the past that we've heard of. We know of TV evangelists of years ago. And people looked to that man or looked to that church, not the church, but the building and the facilities and the wonderfulness of it and the bigness of it, and they look at all that and they get in trouble and none of that helps them. Because it's just a man. He's just a man. But he's God's chosen man. And when he speaks, he's speaking to us just like God. In the beginning here it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. The Lord speaks to our pastor. And he tells us what God's told him. And we have to take heed to that. We can sit here and enjoy the message and enjoy, but we really need to listen to every word that's preached from this pulpit. It's life-changing. So, I mean, Moses was telling them here. He just said, slow down here just a minute. Don't be so afraid. Fear not. Stand still. Think about this. Think about what you're saying here. Stand still. Think about God. What's he done for you in the past? Has he brought you through some things? Has he brought you through some impossible situations? Now, you know, we can go back to the New Testament and we can look at Paul and think about him and think about the situation that he was in, and he asked God three times to take away a problem that he had, and God said, no, it's for my glory that you're going to go through this. People have speculated that it was some kind of health issue or eye issue. And it could have been his eyes, because there's evidence he had people writing some of his letters for him. I believe the devil was after him from his past when he was called Saul. What did he do? He murdered Christians. Wouldn't that be an easy place for the devil to get in and hassle Paul when he was late at night, tired, wore out from the day? We can get there. And the devil will come in and accuse us. And we got to go to the Lord on that situation. We got to pray. We got to get in the Word and say, God, get the devil behind me. And that's what Paul did. He prayed three times and God said, you're going to have to deal with it, but I'm going to help you take care of it. And here's these people. Moses told them to slow down. Fear not. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. I want to see the salvation of the Lord. I want to see it. Verse 14, he said, the Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. He will fight for you. Do you believe that? That will God fight for you? Do you believe that? Can you hold on to that right there? That's God's word. He will fight for you. In any situation, we can get ourselves in a bad shape. And he'll hold your peace. I mean, he wants to give you the peace that the peace that passes. Let's go to is it Philippians? Yeah, let's see. Yeah, some of my favorite verses. In Philippians, in chapter 4 in Philippians, it says in verse 5, and let your moderation be known unto all men. That moderation is Let people know that God's in control in your life. Does people know that God's in control in your life? When one of these impossible situations comes, does people know? Do you have the testimony that people can come to you and say, look, I know you've got problems and you're letting God take care of that. Can you tell me how to do that? What a testimony that can be. Does people come to you and seek help? Let your moderation be known. That's what God says right here in Philippians. Unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That's saying stop worrying. Nation of Israel, quit worrying about it. Verse 14 says, God, the Lord has this. Jehovah God has this. He's got peace here. Don't worry about it. The Lord's going to take care of it. But you see, they had no sight of any hope. There was no anything in sight. They had no army. Pharaoh's army and all his chariots and all that stuff was setting off in the distance behind that cloud that God had put up that night. They had light from the cloud. But what was on the other side of that cloud? Did you ever think about that? It was dark. The dark had fell on the chariots. There's verses on in this that says even the wheels on their chariots fell off. I can just see in the dark angels coming down and knocking the pins off those axles so their wheels didn't fall off. I like to think that anyway. But God could just think them. Those wheels are going to come off. In the morning you take out, they're done. You've run them too hard. That's God. So here we are back in Philippians here. And it says, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God. There we back to verse 14. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. They're saying, hold your peace. If you trust the Lord, let him fight for you. You'll have peace. Just hold on. God's going to take care of this. Hold your peace here. Quit complaining. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, here in Philippians. Then the next verse goes on, verse 8, and it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, and whatever things are just, and on and on and on. Was there anything in this world that matches, that you can go out and find any of that thing? Is there any truth anymore? Is there any honesty? Is there any justice? Is there any purity? Is there anything lovely anymore? Things of good report. There is no news stations that has good report anymore. Anything of virtue, anything to praise, think on these things. Well, if there is not anything in this whole world to grab onto and to say praise about, if you look at Jehovah, God, Lord, all those things in verse 8 right there, he has. God has all that. And that's what we're supposed to look at. And that's what we're supposed to hang on to. Because if I hang on to all that stuff in verse 8, then I can go back up to verse 7 and the peace of God. From thinking about those things, I can get the peace of God. We're all familiar with the Philippians. But this is, let's go back here to this situation that the nation of Israel's in. So the Lord will fight for you, he tells you in 14. Stand on the promises of the God. In times of trouble, in times when there seems that it's impossible place to get by, stand on the Word of God. We can go to Psalms. There's so many Psalms that we can read. Psalms 46, verse 2, therefore, will not we fear through the earth we be removed, through the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and trouble, through the mountains shall with the swelling thereof, Selah. And it goes on and on and on, talks about all these things, and the heathen rage and kingdoms, all the things that we hear today. In verse 7, the Lord, there's the Lord in capital letters again, Jehovah, the host is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then down in verse 10, again, God says, be still and know that I am God. In the midst of all the things that we're going through, can we be still and know that He is our God, that He is our Jehovah? He was for the nation of Israel at that time, because we know how the outcome of that situation was. Moses stood there, the waters parted, the nation of Israel went across, the armies were wiped out, and they went on to the promised land. God solved that situation. Only God can do those impossible things. Only God can do the impossible things in our life. I have to live in expectation of miracles of God in solving problems today in this world. There is not a thing we can do with a lot of this junk. But we can pray and ask God to solve these impossible things that are going on in our lives and in the world. We just have to know in our hearts that God is on our side and He is there, and we got to stand still, run to the Word, and believe that He is the great I Am. My time has run out. Let's pray and be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for being there for us. So many examples in your word. Just another little example in this situation of impossibility for the nation of Israel, and you brought them through it. Lord, part the waters for some of the folks that are here today. Do the impossible for some of these folks that are here today. We have so many people in this church fighting illnesses. Part the waters for them. Do the impossible. Heal. God, we thank you for being there for us. Give us a good day in church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.